Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hi, everyone. I'm just wanting to welcome you onto this podcast. We are going to dive into part two of my conversation with Joe Pringle and Josh Kelsey on their journey to leadership and growing up in the house of God.
So let's just talk about your leadership roles a little bit today. Josh, when I referred to the Dallas conference, where I'd spoken to you like socially or lightly, but not really heard what you'd been through or you were going through and what you're dealing with. You mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
You got up and you gave a great session on how you have almost like rejigged your life for it to be sustainable, a sustainable life. And I guess that from my perspective, when I look at both you and Joe and other pastors and leaders, church builders, workers today, looking back after 50 years of leadership, leadership in the church and being a Christian or a disciple of Christ, we are wanting the Joes and the Joshes of ministry, Christian world, to live a sustainable life.
Yes.
Like you're saying, if you do too much, you burn out. If you do too little, you dry up or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when you got up, you shared how that in the middle of everyone has been through something in the pandemic, but you hit a kind of a wall or a rock face. And on good advice, you and your family took an extended sabbatical from ministry to deal with some personal issues and leadership issues. Can you talk a little about this? And I'll get back to Joe about what he has put into his life. But what things have you put in place to create this new sustainable pace in your ministry and family life that could help a viewer?
Yeah. Definitely.
A listener today.
Yeah, it's such a good question, and obviously stuff that I'm still figuring out. You know, I think what I would say is, as a disclaimer, there's no perfect formula to that balance in the sense of it's always shifting and changing. And so what was working 3 months ago needs to shift. And that's probably one of the biggest things I learned in sabbatical, which is, you know, for people listening, you probably have heard the words if you're in leadership, but it's not a extended holiday. It's basically re-looking at every pattern in your life, physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, your thinking. So you're basically reworking your rhythms in all those areas, because those rhythms that you had before sabbatical brought you to the place of either hitting that wall or burnout for some reason. So you're trying to discover, okay, why am I in this place? What brought me to this place? Because if we just play the victim card and we say, well, it's the pandemic, or, you know, it's the church, or it's these people and circumstances, which is true. Those things did bring enormous pressure onto my life, which is hard to describe to people. You know, New York is a very intense city. We've been running super hard for 9 years. You know, just the financial, the relational pressures, you know, and then 50% of our church has packed up and moved to Texas, you know, or somewhere else. And so every day you're just getting bombarded with someone leaving multiple times. Like, I remember one day I got 25 texts in one day or something, you know, and I was just like, and these are good people, like close people. And it was just this period of time where, you know, it wasn't as simple as like, oh, well, we're sending them and we're letting go and we're sowing them. Like, you get to those places, but when you're losing your closest buddies and even just thinking all that you worked for is now gone. And so I really started to question, like, first of all, why did I do this in the first place? Was this worth it? It's put huge pressure on marriage and family and my kids. They've paid a huge price. And then what am I left with? So I just wasn't thinking clearly, you know. So anyway, just for context to the question, things that we put in place was really interesting. I learned a lot more about things like your nervous system. So we got to study like parasympathetic nervous system, which is fascinating, which is, you know, fight or flight, or a stage where they call ventral vagal, which is where you should be living, which is like your happy zone. It's where your system's operating within the window of tolerance, they call it. And so you get bad news, and if your window is wide enough, your window of tolerance, you can handle it. But what was happening is my window of tolerance was narrowing because I wasn't doing well. My tank was empty. So you'd hear news or things would go on, or, you know, pressure'd come and you go out into fight or flight really quickly. And that's what happens to pastors and leaders, is if you don't watch yourself, your window of tolerance shrinks and you're mad at your staff, you're angry, you're sending short texts, you're short with your kids, your wife. And that's what is happening. And churches are literally closing down because their leaders are, their fuse is too short. It may not even be a moral issue. They're getting kicked out because of anger things or other stuff. But then there's the other stuff, is why we make immoral decisions or go to substances or make unwise decisions in our marriages is because we're outside that window and we feel like there's no hope. And then the other side of the nervous system is what they call dorsal, which is your freeze zone, where you'll see in nature an animal play dead, prey. So the predator will think it's dead and there's no hunt. And so you just go into numb freeze zone. And if you get stuck there, that's when you can get depressed. But it's this high highs of fight and flight. You get stuck there.
Yeah.
And then you crash into your nervous system being frozen. And so that's where I was. And I got stuck.
That is very, very interesting. Now, what practical things have you put in place? And then I'll ask Joe, because I know for a long time Joe has lived it's a routine to keep his sanity and sobriety in place. What little practical tips? Because there are going to be people that are listening right now and they're going to be saying, oh God, I've gone into sleep mode, or I'm off doing these secret things and I can't sustain it. Just maybe three tips or something that you've put into place.
Sure. Yeah, they call it regulating. So, and it's about two things. So you want to, what they call is widening your window, which is figuring out things that can increase your capacity. So, you know, whether it's exercise, you know, diet, walks in nature, all these kinds of things.
You're sort of practical things.
Very practical. But also when you study it, it's fascinating. Like, things like speaking in tongues are actually God's way of regulating your nervous system. So when we were with meeting with a therapist, there's a thing called a tongue drop. So all the listeners can do this right now. If you put your tongue at the top of your mouth and then drop it to the bottom as fast as you can when I say go. So everyone do this and drop. And if you keep your mouth closed and then drop it, you'll feel that's your nervous system. When you'll feel like a little rush just from your tongue dropping. But when I've been looking into it, a lot of, like, say, speaking in tongues is you're doing multiple tongue drops basically as you speak in tongues. Worship is regulating. So God placed all these regulating things, prayer is regulating, reading scripture, walking with the Lord, walking with your husband or wife and talking, And these are the things that the Lord has given us. But then just a practical thing is just planning in breaks with your family ahead of time. Like we just had, we had a long weekend here in America for President's Day, and we just took that weekend off, where before I thought I could never miss a weekend. I got to build, you know, do this, do that.
Right.
But if I want to build a generational church, if I want to build a church that lasts beyond me, I've got to last.
Correct.
And it's just a really ridiculous thing. The enemy has tools and schemes, and so he wants to take leaders out. And one of the ways he takes you out is by causing you to do too much.
Yeah, too many things for God. I can't take a break because I've got to work for
exactly,
God.
Exactly.
Excellent, excellent, Josh. Such good advice. Joe, how you doing, mate?
Oh, fantastic. This is incredible.
So just so the viewers know, Phil and I, husband Phil, Joe's dad and I, we've been in LA for two months and stuff, and pretty much living close to Joe and Christine and their little girl. And seeing mm-hmm. a regular lifestyle of Joe has been just really good and really educational. Joe, what things, I mean, I know that your disciplines and everything are very important to you as part of, well, probably initially for sobriety, but now, as you mentioned earlier, you had Jesus as Savior, but you had to hit rock bottom in a way to get on your knees to call out to Him as your Lord. Following on from Josh, so many great exercises and tips he's given out. What kind of things do you do on a daily basis that have helped you and continue to help you to sustain a great life of a disciple of Christ?
Well, like, I mean, look, at a very practical level, it all falls in line. Diet has a huge part to do with your emotional well-being. I think your emotional well-being does tangle with your spiritual side and your physical side. Obviously, when you've got your diet, you make sure you're sleeping the hours that you need to sleep on a regular basis.
Right.
And I believe working out, making sure that you're pumping. Josh is talking about all of these different things that happen to your body psychologically and chemically. And God gave us chemicals in our brains. They release during particular periods, and those are all released, you know, if you eat well and you sleep well and you exercise regularly. That's like super practical, but I've found that the best medication against depression, against anxiety, against hopelessness is instituting those three things on a physical level. Those three things as a routine and as a schedule. So I don't have a day off. Like, I go Sunday through Sunday, and there are days where I don't want to do it, but I still do it. And the reason being is there's too much at stake that I can lose in a day. I've wasted too many days. And what I mean is not this big burdensome thing about a day, but my family, my daughter, my friends, the staff I work with and the congregation we lead, I want to be there physically as healthy as I can be. So I just commit myself to those things. And then, you know, you have a daughter, and then I think I've got to put a scripture to use for just these simple practical things. Enlarge the place of your tent. What that practically sounds like to me is get up an hour earlier. So I've just enlarged the place of my tent. You need, if you're like, I want my spiritual life to grow, I just want to be more healthy, I want to, well, there's a sacrifice there. And that means saying no to particular things and saying yes to other particular things.
Awesome.
So, you know, I'm up at 5 a.m. and my day starts, and I get all of that done well before my daughter gets up. That being said, obviously there's the spiritual side of things that just has to be in continual practice, prayer, reading his word, communion with others. But in terms of other, just going a little bit deeper, I think one of the most beneficial things that I have found is the clearing of resentments. And resentment can be a very heavy word in a Christian world, you know, like, oh, I forgive so easily. But a resentment is just something I hold against someone. I remember my old roommate, Mike Whittle, just throwing him under the bus here, but he lost his garage door opener. And so I had to leave mine under a rock outside the front. And he said, yeah, I'll get a new one. But it was 3 months and he still hadn't got a new one. And I just had it like made me treat him differently. It made me just angry every time I had to get up and get out and open. So I went and bought one. Anyway, it can be as something as small as that,
yeah,
that I just need to clear house on. And,
great,
you know, I have a particular way that I do that, but I think it's important to really look at those things and make sure that I'm clearing my side of the street. I'm not here to justify my actions or reactions because this other person was wrong. No.
Yeah.
In any situation, I only look at my side of the street. How better can I respond to situations like these? Is my pride affected? Is my self-centeredness affected? Is my greed or my envy or my intolerance and patience, are these things tested in this time?
Wow.
How better can I react? And that provides you with a consistent filter in life to be able to respond to issues. And
I love that.
That has kept me healthy. That has kept me.
I love that.
Yeah.
I know just from a practical point of view that somebody listening might be thinking, I want to put some things into action. Praying the Lord's Prayer and taking each bit every day has been a very positive influence on both Phil and myself. And those components, that many of those components that you've both talked about with that last question, are included in the Lord's Prayer. And perhaps that is why when the disciples said, teach us to pray, of course they didn't have the tools back then of the stuff, you know, the nervous system stuff that Josh, you're talking about, and how everything is cause and effect. But the Lord's Prayer covers pretty much most of those elements,
yeah,
that you've both talked about,
yeah,
today in your different experiences. And so that would be a good starting point for someone apart from emailing you, Josh and Joe.
It's important. All the stuff that Josh is talking about is so important. And there's such very practical ways to be able to combat and confront those things. Because generally, as in a Christian world, we can sometimes fall into this without enveloping ourselves in the culture, but word of faith mentality. That God has all of this and he's going to release. But Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, or the renewing of your mind, which to me says there is a consistent action that I am renewing my mind, and that is the transformation. And the mind is a very tricky muscle. They say the heart is a deceitful place. That's talking about the mind. And man, I just hearing, obviously, and knowing Josh's story and my own, the battle of the mind is so important to fight. And it's very practical because I can get,
it's good.
I can get, and I don't know if you're the same, Josh or Mum, but I sometimes romanticize my problems as so complicated. I'm such a complicated human being and I need a complex answer to all of these complexities in my mind. But the answers are generally very simple. if it's but just a commitment to them, not just in this short term, but on a long-term basis. And so that's, what I found.
I think that's it's the awareness that you're saying. You know, it's like to be aware of things like dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, like, as you said, God made us this way. But also what I learned was that a lot of the things we're dealing with now are from traumatic experiences from our upbringing, injuries. You know, I had a really bad head injury when I was in sixth grade in New York. I had a fractured skull, internal bleeding, brain hemorrhaging. That's why I speak like this. And
you're lucky you're speaking at all.
Exactly. And but yeah, it's like a miracle that all these things. I mean, I broke my back off Warwood jump blowhole with
yes,
with
you Joe. Did.
And you guys carried me up the cliff, which probably shouldn't have happened.
No, I
could have been paralyzed. But anyway, it was interesting going through all these injuries and then different things that happened, transitions, moving from New York to Australia, Australia to New York, back and forth, and then what we've been through. I think a lot of times leaders, just people following Christ, we don't validate these things. We don't say, actually, that affects your brain. That affects your emotions. Mm-hmm. That affects how your brain is firing. It's, again, it's not to become ruled by it, but you can then go on a journey of how to bring healing in those areas. And sometimes it is prayer, other times it's diet, other times it's, yes. And most of the time it's a mix of all of it.
Exactly.
And over spiritualizing things or just quoting a scripture, 100%, like we want the word to be just so become flesh in our life, and it's our bread. But if it's just this religious idea of it, it can be quite the devil knew scripture, he used it against Jesus. So I think setting pastors free from that idea of shame and guilt about these things and actually getting help now.
Right.
I just say right now, anyone, just if you're struggling, get help now. Call someone, text someone, don't wait another day. Get it out in the light and get around good people that can help you on your journey.
I love that. That is so important. Perhaps even at the end of this podcast, I'll get Joe Mekak to, we could even offer some resources and
Joe's email. Joe Pringle's email.
I think what I'm loving about everything that you're sharing and talking about is it's in a way from, you know, when we got saved, everything was a spiritual answer. And of course, now we know better that it's just not so. It's a mixture. It's, you read the New Testament, a lot of Paul's teaching and spiritual discipling was dealing with human nature and issues and relationship problems.
Right.
It wasn't just, we call it Holy Scripture, but it's a manual for living well and getting on with people and doing the right thing and moral integrity and mixed in with that, of course, prayer, fellowship, going to the temple, studying.
Yeah, the rhythms.
But it's everything, and I think it's been so important what you've been sharing. I think it's going to set free a lot of pastors who've maybe been, and leaders and kids growing up in church who could be listening to this podcast, to give them a wider educational, opportunity for them to dig a little deeper and to get answers that perhaps they felt guilty about reading certain books to help them, or to seek outside help from a counsellor or, you know, a therapist even, dare I mention that word. But
no, but that's a really good point. Can I just say something to, like, what you're saying, Pastor Bruce, is so important, because, you know, when I've shared some of my story, and I know Joe's shared his testimony in Sydney and other places, and, you know, George and I were talking about it, and I understand why people do this, but they'll say things like, man, you were so vulnerable, or like, wow, that was just so real. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You know, like, what would you prefer, that I be fake or not vulnerable? And so I'm not boo-hooing when someone says I understand the sentiment, because it is funny that within Christian circles, that's like amazing. You know, like, it's the rarity that someone's real about right. their story. And I just think I'm a little bit on a mission to go, yeah, like, not every message am I going to share, you know, all my dirty laundry, but there's got to be, in your church culture, you've got to not set yourself up for a lose, in the sense that a lot of the American culture and the Western culture is you're basically setting yourself up to fail, because you've developed this persona of being the superhuman, can do no wrong through your preaching and everything else. And yeah. so it just creates this massive gap that you feel like you can't share anything. And exactly. it's a disaster waiting to happen, you know, even if it's a small issue.
Right. I mean, I guess that gap would be, if I'm on a mission in my season of life, would be to blow that thing up and to yes. give permission to pastors of all ages, of all categories of ministry, to say,
boast therefore in their weakness.
Yeah, it's to not be okay, and it's all right to seek help, and you know, like Joe was saying,
normalize it.
Normalize it, because people often say, how have you sustained all these years, blah blah, in ministry? And we've always said that you do have the highs and you have the lows, but you've got to hit a medium, which is sort of, for some people, 100%. Boring.
But boring is good.
Like we say, oh, we've been married 50 years and 30 years of those were happy. And people, but we're being honest. And that helps a couple out there who are like, been married mm-hmm. whatever years, and they're like in the middle of, I don't like her anymore. I don't like him anymore. Right. And I'm like, and? Well, that's part of marriage. Yeah. You're going to work through that. It's okay. Get help. Joe Pringle.
There's a great picture in Ezekiel where it's all the cogs in the wheels, and then there's the face. It says there's a face of the man, there's a face of a lion to the right, a face of an ox to the left, and a eagle over the top. And I think sometimes we can, you know, whether it's the leader, just put the face of the lion at the front. Everything's rah, rah, everything's good, let's go, rah, king of the jungle. The full subservient side of the ox is at the front, you know, I'll do whatever it takes, whatever it is, I'll carry the burden. Or the eagle head is at the front, where it's this super spooky spiritual person, just over-spiritualizing everything. But there's an important thing that they're all facets of us as humans, but the face at the front is that of a human. And I think that's because a human face connects with human hearts. And that to me speaks of the vulnerability that we have as humans, beyond just being leaders or pastors or worship leaders or whatever, a congregation member in the church. We're all humans and we all have vulnerabilities. That's why Jesus is an incredible savior, an incredible Lord, an incredible provider. And it's even more testament to the power of that. And, you know, we don't have it all together and we're figuring this out, but we are dedicated to seeking God and his answers within his word and the empowerment of his spirit. you know, so.
Exactly.
I think.
I remember. Sorry, you go.
Go, Josh.
No, it's just, that's so spot on, Joe. I love that picture of the, that's what God chose. And it's amazing that God chose the human face to reveal the face of the Father. Putting on flesh, you know, he could have showed up as an eagle, you know, or some other form.
And pretty much that's it. We come back to the Word became flesh and dwelt
exactly.
among us, and we beheld
praise God. His
glory. And
yes.
I think whatever we are going through, whatever season we're in, if we come back to Christ and allow him and we, you know, have him front and center, as you were saying, Joe, when he becomes first your savior and then over the life, your lifetime, his lordship. You have to invite his lordship into every element of your life and season and age and through every trial and everything. Then that is the journey of the disciple, and that is the pathway of leadership that you've so eloquently shared today. In closing, and I'm so grateful to you both. I love you deeply.
Grateful to be here.
Such an honor.
I love your families, your wives and your kids. I just adore them. Can't wait to see Brooke and Zeph. Give them a big hug as much as I've seen Charlie recently. But just in closing, Joe, I'm just thinking of people that are, there are pastors out there with kids. Just a final, maybe a prayer from you and Josh over our listeners today, as to, you know, just to take these words of encouragement and to just pray a closing prayer over our listeners today.
Yeah.
Joe.
I'll start, and Josh, why don't you close us out?
Sounds good.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. God, thank you for every opportunity that we have to come around and talk about your goodness, your mercy, your grace. And God, even through the stories of, you know, myself, Josh, and mom and dad, and even when we look at the Bible, regardless of where we are in the story, there is an ultimate overarching plan that you have. And it is a beautiful one. It is a marvelous one. God, I pray that you give us the fortitude to stand strong in the hard days. I thank you that you would give us the discerning words to speak to the hearts of those who are in the midst of their own trials, that we would not speak to them from a high place, but just from the same level. That there would be words that are given to us that are sent out from our mouth and would not return to us void, but would set out and accomplish what they were sent to do. Thank you that the prayers of parents and brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles and aunts will be heard for who they are seeking you for. Thank you for peace upon those who are in the midst of trials. God, oh God, that there would be a softening of hearts, that there would be a mind that begins to be opened, and that we would trust you, Father, as just as the farmer does when he plants the seed. It says he does not know how they grow, but he watches with a keen eye, for at the time of harvest, he is ready with a sickle. That God, you would make us keen seed planters. You are the one who grows them. And in the day of harvest, that you would make us ready to be able to put sickle to it, to put tool to it and bring it in. God, I thank you for your presence over the minds of those who have been in turmoil or torment, that you are the restorer of all things that are broken, and that no ash is wasted, for out of the ashes a crown of beauty is placed. Thank you that your Holy Spirit would guide us in your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Yes, Father. We say yes and amen to that, Lord. And we just thank you for this time together. And thank you for Pastor Chris's willingness and just idea to have this chat. We just think of all the prodigal sons and daughters out there who need to come home. And we just thank you, Father, that you're a Father that runs towards us, no matter what we're stuck in, no matter if we're covered in pig filth, there's zero resistance. You literally, you pick up your robe and you run with such passion and fervor and love towards your sons and your daughters. Mm-hmm. And you place a ring on their finger and clothe them in a robe of honor and bring out the fatted calf and put on the best party and feast. And so, Lord, I just thank you for those that are listening, that even pastors and leaders will remember that they are also that prodigal son, that they can come home back into the Father's love in a fresh way. Even though they may be preaching every week and doing the job of a leader, we just thank you that they would come running back into your presence and fall in love with you, not just the idea of it, but the reality. And Lord, for those older brothers out there that maybe are stuck in religion or stuck in why didn't you do this for me in comparison and just the church games that we play, Lord, I pray for freedom for those that would join in the party, that would join in with the celebration of those that are coming back into your house. And Lord, we thank you for just your amazing love.
Amen.
And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.